been taken and let the record reflect. All members are present.
Okay.
Chairman?
Yes.
Just as a start, after we approved the minutes, we were hoping to probably put item 5 on the discussion item at the top. So that we can get that back to the decision making and then on the next
day. Okay, this particular point, we're going to open up the public comment. The public can speak about anything that is not on our agenda. Is there any public comment? Is there any public comments? Seeing none, we'll close public comment and move to draft minutes of the August 7th meeting.
Make a motion to accept the draft.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, at this particular point, we're going to jump to number E5 regarding the well 4A motor replacement to the staff.
Justin? Yeah. And this is just a handout for this discussion.
Five minutes.
All right, sounds good. We can do that.
I don't know.
I know. Well, these are straightforward ones. That's good. We recognize that the motor in 4A is going to need to be replaced. So just to remind you, we just did a rehab on well 4A, and it was to clean the well and rebuild the bowls and replace the pumps that need to be replaced. At the time, the motor's about 19 years old. There wasn't any indication at the time that there was anything wrong with it. When we went to put it back in, they did the standard procedure of trying to refill the oil that's filled inside the motor that surrounds the windings to keep it cool, and they couldn't get the oil to pass through. So it was apparent that there's probably water in the motor. That's not to say that it would fail immediately, but it's a sign of it's probably on its way. So we didn't have a motor to put back in, so we put that motor back in, and it's still operating, but we're starting to see some further signs that this motor's on its way out. We just had a motor overload fail. We checked the megs. Basically, it looks like there is a short, but it's still running within the amperage tolerance, so it's a really small short, and it's probably a result of the fact that there's water in the motor. And we're dealing with and we're putting another overload protection on the panel to protect the motor in case it burns out. So what we're looking at right now is replacement options for the motor. And there's some iterations here because there's a few things to consider, mainly because of the lead time associated with motor replacement options. And then there's also two classes of motors. There's a oil-filled motor, which is the type that's in there. They're high quality motors, they last 20 years, they cost about $80,000. And then there's a lower cost option, which is a water-filled motor, and those tend to last maybe 10 years. And we haven't seen those in practice on this particular well, but the manufacturer state is about a 10-year life expectancy. We know with the oil-filled motors, we have one that's in there that's been in there 20 years, so 20 years is a pretty good number to go on. If you buy one of those, we should get another 20 years out of it. Now, you can rebuild those motors, so after 20 years, you pull it out and rebuild it for maybe half the cost. The reason we can't rebuild this one is because it has a mercury seal. So if we go to do a rebuild, it's also changing this specialized seal that's part of the motor itself, and that adds cost. So it's almost the cost of a new motor to rebuild this motor and replace the seal. So really that one I just described where we rebuild this motor is option 2. It's about the cost of a new motor and they give us a credit for the pour. So I have options 1, 2, and 3, and there's 2 iterations of those, which is if we do this proactively, meaning we make a decision on purchasing the motor now, we can purchase that motor and we can wait for it to arrive, and then we can install it in a rather tight time, a good time frame when we have low demands. If we were to say, well, let's just wait till this motor burns out, we might find ourselves in trouble and need a temporary pump to put it in place while we figure out what we're going to put, in place of that motor. So that iteration would be we just wait for it to burn out, in which case we better also budget for a temporary motor cost. And that's so option 1A, 1B, retroactively now, or just waiting for it to burn out, in which case it might cost us more because we have to turn in some very long. And so what we put together is this range of costs for these options, and the bottom line total budgetary estimate is on the bottom of the cost table. And then below that is some of the performance and technical information that's important to consider also when making this decision. Going with the higher quality motors again on option 3A and 3B, we're going to get 20 years out of it. So we're going to spend, at least $100,000 on this. For the low cost motor, we can make a decision now to do that, and we can make a purchase for that. Bottom line cost with all the taxes and installation and everything that goes with it is going to be about $100,000. If we go to the higher quality motor, we're going to add another $50,000 on top of that. And that's because of the cost, the higher cost of the motor. There was an earlier version of this table, so that's why I updated this, because we just got some revised figures from the pump supplier and reached out to the manufacturers. And one of the costs that we had to consider was that we have to actually ship that type instrument pre-sealed back to the factory so they could properly dispose of it. And so there was a fee in there that had to be added on any of these options, so they have to do that. So we wanted to present this as a decision really for the town to make. My recommendation would always be to go with the higher quality motor. We've seen it proven that it lasts for 20 years. And with a lower quality motor, we have, we have kind of verbal, for manufacturers, if these are 10-year motors, well, I mean, that could be more or less. And we did a comparison on this other chart between if we went with the higher quality is called a Flowserve Byron Jackson, and the lower quality is called a Hitachi. These are the two different brands, the name brands that we drinking water standard that we use. And it's I would just say it's a simplified life cycle cost. It's not a true life cycle cost. We're not looking at inflation rates, present value. We're simply just saying there's a capital cost now to install it, and then there's rebuild costs in the future. And the rebuild cost for your Byron Jackson happens every 20 years, and the rebuild cost for your Hitachi happens every 10 years. So after 30 years, the costs balance out. But the main difference between those two is that on the Hitachi, you're pulling it out more often. So every time you pull it out, there's more room for other things to happen. And in the end, it's on the average, it might be about the same cost on paper right here. But it's hard to say what the actual rebuild cost would be. It's hard to say what the actual what other issues might happen when you pull the motor out. So going with the 20-year motor costs more now, but it's a better likelihood that that pump will be in there for a longer period of time between maintenance cycles.
I have a question on the submersible cable.
Okay.
Do we have a submersible cable now going down to the existing pump?
Yeah.
Or can we reuse it?
We can maybe reuse it. We did put a splice on that cable, so we reused the old cable when we put the new pump in. We put in a new pump and we attached it to the existing motor, and we didn't disconnect the motor from the cable. We want to leave that connection intact, but we did lower the pump 60 feet, so we had to put a splice. And it's just that it's got the splice and that 160 feet or so that was existing is still existing from 20 years ago. And if we check the connectivity and the installation is intact, we can reuse it. It would just be another component potentially to fail earlier that would cause us to pull it out if we start seeing shorts.
Well, the only thing that failed would be moisture intrusion into the slide.
Correct.
If you've got to pull it all the way out, you can suspend it.
Correct, yeah.
And recoat, I don't know how you use the splice, but recoat the splice.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, we would expect it. Yeah, it's expensive for the cable, definitely. And it's less a visual inspection as it is an electrical inspection. We
would,
we check the continuity. So.
Did they do a continuity check on the bike?
Yeah.
Did it have?
Yeah.
Did it replace the tension?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. they nagged it when they were putting in the motor. They, right. They didn't disconnect the cable from the motor because we wanted to leave that seal intact.
Right.
So. Right, right. So at this point, there is a short. Now it's going to be installed, and there is a short. We're getting an overload, but it's not causing the amps to exceed full load amps. So whatever that connection isn't creating enough voltage drop across it to create an issue yet. But it's most likely a result of the water in the motor itself and not the cable. But we wouldn't know that until we pull it out and disconnect the two and meg both independently to see where the short state was.
Cable should be off the shelf by the motor.
It's not a long lead item compared to the motor.
So
yeah.
The strategy was pull it out, we're going to use the existing cable and we tested it and we found we can.
Yeah.
Also the process, yeah.
Right. It might add a couple weeks. It might add a couple weeks or the cable have it arrived. Yeah. Okay. That kind of thing. But if we did it in the low demand season, then I think it would be fine to have the motor offline for about 3 weeks or so. So we decide what motor we want, we place the order, when it arrives, and pull it out. When I get to check it,
I probably pull it out for say $40,000 option.
Yeah. And we could definitely try to do that.
Yeah.
Well, I just got a question on option two. You said that, I thought you said it's not practical to rebuild the current
one. It's an option. There is an option. It's a doable option, and this would be what the cost is for that option. So we would still spend about $140,000 to rebuild that motor versus another $10,000 just to get a brand new one. So it can be done. It's more practical when you already have the right kind of seal, because it'll be a lot less expensive. But the motor that's in there is a mercury seal. So to replace that seal with the double mechanical, we're not allowed to put mercury back in once we do work on the motor. It makes the price of it basically the price of the new motor.
When you rebuild it, is there a warranty? So we do not.
We have it rebuilt, and the warranty is 1 year from the time of installation.
And the warranty is 12 to 18 months of rule?
Well, it's 12. Well, they're all the same. They're all the same. It's 12 months from the date of installation or 18 months from the date of purchase.
So it's about $8,000 less to do that.
Right.
And the lead time is midstream.
Right.
How many times do you?
Well, that's a great question. Now, I mean, that requires empirical evidence, and there's not a ton of that out there for these motors. But what everybody we talked to said you could keep rebuilding them until the casing deteriorates and you're getting water into the casings. I mean, they're replacing windings, they're replacing shafts, bearings, they're doing a lot of work to rebuild the motor. So they're telling us we would get 20 years out of the rebuild motor.
It would benefit us if we could get 20 years and then rebuild it.
Right. Okay.
And do they rebuild on the site or do they have to ship
it? No, they ship it out. It takes about, I think, where do I have that?
We've got 2.5 months for sleep time.
So we have saved. That's the time it is. Yeah, it takes us we got 10 to 18 weeks for a rebuild. No, not 18, 10.
I was going to say, Bill, normally on the motor, you do 2 to 3 months wise as you can understand it. So we basically have to.
And the 5 months wouldn't kill us because you get that 5 months of delivery on the motor if you want to go out and ship 3 days.
Right, exactly.
And it wouldn't be down because the motor would still hurt. It's still hurting when it comes in at a shorter time in between. You have your fifth option too, and you would have 5 months to get out and force that to a loaner or some other. So there's an additional cost.
Exactly. So we made the decision that we wanted the new one, but we ordered it too late. Say we're still waiting for it, and it's now summertime, the motor burns out, and we're going to need a temporary pump.
Yeah.
But during low demand, we can get by a pump as well. We're looking for direction because these options to us are very similar. You know, my recommendation would be to pick a higher quality motor because we know what we're going to get out of that. There's less uncertainties.
I did go that way. It's going to cost $10,000 a year. 10 years out of the low cost of $7,500 by the 20 years. make sense to do it. And in this, the original problem has been in existence and been used for 20 years, that they have a mercury issue, which changes what you can do with that pump. That's not built back to the patent spec, per se. I would probably lean towards option 3A.
Yeah. And I think I would rebuild the leadership. If we need answers to how many times we rebuild it, what's the reliability, the warranty is the same, so I kind of like saying we can have every time. But we can start that on a new pump to get rid of the mercury problem on this one. The 10,000, the Hitachi, the 10-year, the problem is every time you pull the pump up, you risk other issues. Every time you open up the wall, you're going to find new things that you look at in 0 or 2 weeks.
Right.
So I would go along with it.
Okay.
Okay, so the recommendation to the committee is to go with option 3A. We need to go back to the board to get approval.
All right.
Do we have to go with an RFP on this, or can you just engage in that scope of work from
These costs are based on estimates that I got from the pump supplier who did the work, and there's only two pump suppliers that are qualified to put in these types of orders. One's out of San Francisco and one's out of Sacramento. The one who gives us the better price each and every time is out of Sacramento, and they've done all the work on wells. So we could go back and get pricing from both of them again.
So you can get pricing for both of them just so we have it, and then bring it back to the board for approval. That way, what would be nice is if we get this motor in time to put it in during the low season, which is next summer. Mm-hmm. If we don't get it in time, at least a door we can hang on to it and use the motor we have and hope it doesn't burn out until the next low season.
Right.
We have about 5 minutes.
Is it the low season?
Winter?
Yeah,
you can
come
over. I'm sorry.
Also, in the proposal, we wanted to explore the use of the table.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Okay.
On that extra money to, on a bond. they're going to have a full presentation at the board, but we wanted to give you a quick number right now.
Yeah. So you took the whole presentation.
I didn't give them the number.
So I have just the website. So Allison will be here tonight. She has 11 slides, and she's going to go through different scenarios and different options. So she can answer, ask all of your questions tonight. But what I did want to pull out is one slide is the cost for $1 million. And so she did this for us over 10, 20, 30, and 40 years. Average estimated interest rates and annual debt service for $1 million in project funds. So at a 10-year rate, it's about $140,000. The impact on the rate per month is $1.94, and it's a 2.4% increase. Now, remember that it's just for this project. This is not necessarily adding all the projects we have in our capital improvement plan. It's on top of that. So,
if we look at the 30-year,
that's right.
If I'm understanding this correctly,
yes.
If we were to move plant one over to plant two, mm-hmm. the 30-year would be $97 per year per rate year.
For
$1 million.
It's 97 cents for $1 million. I said $97.
Yes.
Well, it's by 12.
No, yeah. But yeah.
12
no.
times 97.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying 120 dollars. That's $10 a month more. And you've now moved our plan all the way over here.
Right.
Exactly.
Without knowing all the other things that are going to increase that $120.
That's correct. And we will know that when we do the rate study this fiscal year. So, and she also put on top the current sewer rate. So you can see it's $82.55 a month at about 6,000 customers. So then you add that extra money on top of that, the extra, what is it?
$10
onto that, plus the right. new projects that we have coming up.
Which are going to be there anyway.
Correct.
They are.
And that's, this is what we were trying to pass. At least I want the board to be understanding. Rates are going to have to increase this much because that's what we've got. Now we have to make the additional decision whether we move that plant over or we don't. And the difference is $10 a month. This doesn't take in probably that would be $10.
The $10 a month is $120 a year. The current annual rate in next year for sewer will be $1,000 and change.
Right.
So that would raise, just this would raise it
4%.
Just to move the rate that way. Otherwise, we're putting it in.
Correct. Now, the information I was given, I have to say it's accurate. The old way of doing rate studies was that we would go out to a rate study, board would analyze. We have professionals tell us this is what it is. We make a hard decision on, well, should we go up this much or this much or this much? If I understand right now, we still have to go through that process and say we select whatever the number is. Now we have to go up for a vote of ratepayers.
Yes. 218.
218.
And I'll have to ask this in every last year. Ratepayers don't want to pay that bill.
It would be very difficult for us to do that. It would be difficult for us to fund it.
Yeah.
So we could probably fund it, but then we wouldn't be able to maybe make the debt service payment.
Well, at some point you run out of
it. You do. You run out of it. And then if you don't build it, then you get fined.
Yes.
So no matter what, you got one in, you have to pay. So you're building it and paying, or you're going to get fined and paying.
But so we don't have the money. We didn't have the money to build it, the rate barrier didn't approve
right.
it. And we won't have the money to fine, the rate barrier didn't approve.
That's correct.
So what happens is we end up.
Yep.
So if you haven't shut it down, and you're down for several days, so it has no water and it has no
when we do our rate study, yes, we do a public hearing. It's Prop 218, we have to hold a public hearing. So we have to post it. It gets 45 days to post. You have your public hearing. And then.
But it's not a formal vote. That's why I just wanted to verify. If the way it's happened in the past and the way I've always seen it happen, you're required to have a 218 public hearing. That's not the same as the public votes, because there's an actual ballot process under 218 for certain kinds of districts and people.
I would
clarify that. There's a public hearing, the public can come talk.
Oh, all there is a vote.
But I don't believe there's a vote. It hasn't been in the past, but they actually vote. They don't vote on the rate increase. We haven't voted on the rate increase, and when you're an enterprise fund, and you have public obligations and public debt, that's why they avoid that. They have to have a public hearing. So
there's
I just
keep
that up, and I think you have to have a public hearing.
But if enough people come to the public hearing, you know, then...
They can come and scream and yell, but at the end of the day, the board has to look at it after the whole community and say, we're facing fines, we're in the refugee scenario. You don't have a choice. Well, certain parts of this project, we have to do. There's nothing the public can say. It's not that.
Yeah, I don't think it's for
that.
Okay. Well, I think at least if we have all the
money to go to the new state.
Let's just do it. I mean, this is brand new. I don't know.
Well, we'll find out.
I think there's more research to be done. We don't want to wait until it happens.
If we
go out and vote, if it does go this way and we vote it down, we can't just sit there and go, oh no, and then wait for all of the rocks to fall on top of us. But we've got to know exactly what's going to happen. If in fact we do have to have a vote, then what's the vote?
To repair, there's two options for repairing plant one, which try to, what's the bare minimum we have to do and what's everything we should do if we want to do. So the bare minimum we would do is $3.28 million to fix up Plant 1. Well, we can solve a reasonable standard for a backup plant. Okay, so it's going to run and it'll be there 15 to 20 years from now. Okay. There's also another $571,000 improvements you could do now, or you could do them over time, and it's a backup plan for okay, include them over time. Don't need to jump on right now. But the total cost, essentially, to keep Plant 1 is $3.783 million. That's an investment in just repairs. It's basically just repairs of existing facilities. Nothing new getting constructed, just repairs of existing facilities. Okay. We have to build the education, and we have a cost of $8 million for the education. And that $8 million doesn't care where you build the deactivation improvements, but there's three ditches and it assumes you're gonna fix three ditches. Okay. So the key is the amount that was going to be spent in Plan 1 is $2.619 million. So you're going to spend, if you stick with the original plan, which is repair Plan 1 and build United Plan 1, you're going to spend an additional $2.619 million for deactivation. So then this is how the numbers break down. If you keep Plan 1 and do the minimum required, it's $3.28 million plus $2.619 is $5.9 million. So that's your minimum investment in Plant 1. You can spend $6 million. Right? If you add in $500,000 for other stuff, you could do a Plant 1, you're $6.4 million. Okay. So that's essentially what your new investment in Plant 1 is going to be. Okay, now, a portion of that's for the education because you're upgrading the facility, but the $3.7 million is just to repair it. If you move Plant 1 to Plant 2, you're going to spend $13.6 million. But you still need to build unification. Now, also, you still need to spend the $2.619 million. That was a separate number. So your total cost with improvement is $16.435 million on an equal basis. On an equal basis. So the hit is about $10 million to pick up everything on Plant 1 and build a brand new at Plant 2. Okay? So what does that mean? Now, there is no end cost savings.
Before you step on
sure.
That, the $10 million to move, knowing what you know about picking up all the stuff, we're going to have to tear things up to rebuild the Plant 1. Why $10 million? Just a high level, why the $10
million? Okay, so the biggest
thing,
the biggest thing is we're fixing equipment at Plant 1. We're replacing equipment. We're not rebuilding structure. So we're not rebuilding clarifier, not rebuilding the oxidation ditch. The structure is where a lot of money is. Okay. So the big difference is we're building the structures from scratch.
And Plant 1, you still have to dig some up, demolish some.
Not really, just the equipment. So
deeper.
No, just the equipment. So I mean, in the Plant 1 option, we're trying to keep the cost down to just a minimum. There was an option where we rebuild the clarifiers at Plant 1. We wouldn't recommend that. You're going to rebuild structures from scratch.
That would have been.
Right. You know, there was a middle, so I didn't bring it up. There was a middle number, okay, where we rebuild structures at Plant 2. It is a lot more expensive. I'm part of Plant 1. You know, we'll rebuild them. But that was twice as much, or three times as much. Not quite $13 million, but it was a lot more. And the point was, if you're going to spend that much money, you might as well just rebuild. So it was really be cheap, I'll say, the lowest cost option, and keep it. And what's the minimum you have to do, or you rebuild it at night. Those are the two things we're considering in here. So we have, now the question is O&M plant cost savings. So in the master plan, they estimated an O&M savings around $80,000 a year, and they brought that back to $862,000 for reservoir costs in O&M savings, or on 20-year lifestyle. So that would drop your net of $10 million on a life cycle basis down to 9. But again, that's not a life cycle basis. It's not on a capital cost basis, right? So your capital cost is more fun, which means the savings over time.
So it only costs $86,000 to run Plant 1?
Well, it's $860,000 of present work cost. Okay, so that's over 20 years. But the bulk of it's like $80,000 a year in additional operating costs to maintain it or run it. And the operators have to build it, you have no electricity, you have to pump up around.
Yeah, I understand. So I just tried to
so what, so the truth in consequences for what's going on here though is you have a contract with the old lady that does that, right? But when we estimate cost savings, it's like, okay, that's a person, that's electricity, that's the stuff. But it doesn't always run directly to the district. Sometimes it goes to the old. Does that make sense? Like if they need less operations time over there, the district may get a benefit because the old lady goes to spend time on something else that you needed that, right? But it's hard to track all that as a direct cash. Here's your cash. You save the fee, right? You know what I'm saying? I can save on electricity, that's straightforward, because we pay them, right? But in terms of manpower, it frees people up to do other things, and you didn't save any money, you got something else done.
You're still on the
paper. Right, you got something else done. So, you know, that's something thinking about that. But at any rate, that's the number for the master plan. Okay? So, the other thing that's important to remember here is we're not fixing the structures. So, we're going to say if you maintain this equipment, you get 20 year life out of it. Okay, but remember, the plant's been there for 40 years. Okay, the plant's been there for 40 years. Structures are usually going to go 30 or 40 years easy, but if you maintain it, right? The equipment can be replaced in 20 years. You can take all the metal out and put all the metal in 20 years. You know, but you don't normally get about the concrete, it's very expensive. So there is a trade-off in the sense that they're not truly equal. It's not apples to apples. It's a rehab 20-year-old plant at minimum cost, or a brand new plant at more cost that will last longer. So I mean, someday you will have to repair structures. I don't think in the next 20 years, but if, you know, down the road someday someone's going to have to repair their structures. They don't last forever, and they certainly will last longer if you start from scratch and modern those plants too. But how do I quantify that is very difficult, so it's not an easy
number. Well, let's just say we get 20 years out of plant one now, the structure.
Yeah.
And let's just fast forward another 20 years, well, they're probably 40 years old now. So
yeah.
Let's say they go another 20.
Yeah, you're going to have to do some.
In 20 years, the structure's going to happen.
You're probably playing out the structure.
Yeah, the concrete's going to be
correct.
So if new plants are built, new structures, we're going to get 40 years.
You get to 40 years.
Plus
whatever you
plus maybe we get 60 years now.
Correct.
So there's a possibility of spending those funds now and getting another 20 years of life out of that structure.
Looks like it's cheaper to run plant two and plant one.
Yes.
And you get better quality in plant two than you do plant one.
Well, there's a lot of possibilities.
So but I think it's before we let's just finish off the summary here. Okay. So the reality is, like Bernie said, there are benefits to moving. The discussion was had when Hoffman wanted to build Plant 2. There was a push to move it all to Plant 2 at that time. But it was cheaper. And Hoffman was in charge. It was cheaper to keep Plant 1. Right? Because on paper, it's cheaper. We write this up. Now remember, that was almost 20 years ago when that decision was made. And again, you got 20 years on Plant 1. You did. You got 20 years on Plant 1. But here you are, you're at the last crossroads about Plant 1, right? For at least another 20 years, right? You're going to make a decision to spend a bunch more money. Once you spend that money, you're keeping Plant 1 until at least 20 years. You know, in our planning horizon, you're keeping Plant 1, and that's the way it is. You know what I'm saying? And anything that breaks up, you'll have to fix it, and you just have to deal with it, or you have to deal with operations, right? So, but that is not equivalent to a brand new plant. But it's not easy, you know, we just deal with dollars in 20-year horizons. You know, it's hard for us to say, you know, 20 years is here, but then 30 years you're going to throw all the structures away, and then there's a whole bunch of money 30 years out, you know, it's just making stuff up. It's just the reality is these are your real costs right now for the next 20 years. You know,
okay. And I think that that's all it's worth.
Right.
It's like 20 years.
Right. So this is the big picture summary. In the table, there's all the individual projects. You got to do this, you got to do that, you got to sum up.
There's 20 euros.
Yeah.
I believe. Last sentence. If you move 6 million to plant 1 instead of 22.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Just for the record.
Okay.
So, if we go into plant 1 and we finish it up and we turn on the E-Night and we meet all the requirements and we take the one, but plant 1 then becomes a backup for it.
Yeah.
It's strictly a backup.
Predominantly exactly. Now, I mean, if Bernie can work it out, let's just say, on paper, he'll run plant 2 as much as he can.
But if it was moved to plant 2, it could act as you could rotate. Whatever it doesn't have to be, it could actually be operationally
used.
Yeah, Right. In fact, it would be in a normal rotation.
Yeah.
So right now,
which
it's not
in the life of the equipment.
Of course.
Let me ask you a question. We have 5-year contracts with the NFL, and I think we authorized the last 5 years plus 2 more 5 or something.
We're up to 2026 right now.
2026, okay. If we made a decision to move everything over to Plan 2, I would assume that in the negotiation prior to 2026, that Billy would come in and look at it. Now we're operating everything at Plant 2. And there would be some changes in the operation, which could theoretically, that's where some of that production costs would have to do. Is that a reasonable expectation?
Yes. So you want to look at what you've got now compared to what we fit on.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Taking into consideration
the real thing.
Wage
increases. There's no doubt. It's better than Plant 2. Everyone will agree it's better. I'll agree, Bernie will agree, it's better than Plant 2. The clarifiers are shallower and older at that one. The equipment, even the structures are older, the structures aren't built to modern standard, but they're functional. So, as an engineer, I can tell you, it's possible to make it work, right? And we can make it work, and you can make it work with dollars. Is that premium to move it over? That's what the board has to decide. And I'm not saying it's an analysis that I can just say yes or no, it's bad. It's just a qualitative thing. It's a qualitative thing. I know the dollars back to 10
years. I personally will say that from a great day, when I'm there, $10 a month to get another one additional 20 years of life out of something.
There will be expenses down the road, like for instance, you still have to maintain stuff.
Well, right, that would be.
It's not, you never spend a dime again.
Well,
you never spend a dime in both places.
Well,
right?
I understand that. Those are ongoing expenses.
Right.
We just have to focus on, because we're at a decision making point for the next time.
Right. So, what I'd like to do is go back to this table for a second and just give you some numbers. Okay. So, you've already done 10, which is your differential cost, 10 million. Right? So 10 million times 97 cents is $9.70 per month.
Right? 10 bucks a month.
10 bucks a month is what you're getting to that. But the real rate increase to the customer is what he was talking about. You've got to be careful.
Oh, I understand. I understand.
So just to keep it slightly more simple, okay, the 10 million covers there, the DMAX, so 10 million was for Plant 2, including DMAX, that differential, right? Well, as you can see here, to move in, we're at 16.435 million, including D9 for Plant 2. The other part of the D9 was another 6 million. So you're at 22 million if you move. Okay, and then we have some little change projects that we're trying to finish out, little things like that. So the reality is, realistically, you're probably $24 million total, for all the master plan items and moving the plans over. Or your 14 million. That's really what you're realistically looking at. So when you look at a rate increase, it's going to be 14 million or 24 million. That's essentially your two numbers that you're going to look at on this chart. And then see, what's my total rate increase to the customer for everything that's about to happen? And in one case, you're going to be over 12%, you're going to get like a 15% increase. So 14 times 97, it's going to be, $15 per month versus $82 a month, or you're going to be 24 times 97, which is going to be, say, $24 per month. So that's what you're talking about.
Same decision all the
way. Same decision all the way.
Yeah,
you're going to have a rate increase no matter what.
So you under those scenarios, $168 a year for a rate pair versus $279 a year for a rate pair.
Right. And that's just basically how it's going to hang out. I mean, just with all the numbers and how it works.
Right. But the difference from Plan 1 to Plan 2 is the $10 a month.
That's right.
Ratepayers are going to have to pay all that money anyway.
Right.
Are they willing to pay an extra $10 a month for a brand new plan?
So then it's 6 months, it's an annual, so it's $120 a year.
Right.
On top of that.
would you have both plants at once? So would you have solar run and everything? So I don't know if you'll be able to run plant on the side.
So that's an excellent point. The finance committee is looking at solar. We're looking at probably 1.7. I'm trying to remember. Power current plants do now. It's impractical to run both plants. The solar really has to be on adjoining property where it actually was powered. So it may be a little more cost to add a more additional solar, but then you would be offsetting some heated energy costs. Where you get your ROI, currently I believe for the finance committee we're looking at an ROI of about 7.5 years or so.
Okay.
But then yeah, that's just all
good.
And if we were to move plant two, is that taken into consideration the plumbing? Does that mean we can take the plumbing and have labs into plant one and bypass that?
Not quite, because we will not move the inflow pump station. So we move both everything to plant two. We're not moving the inflow pump station. You just invested a bunch of money.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, you just invested a bunch of money. And then you just put labs into the inflow pump station.
Is it possible? The smell of the heat, that's the one that we're not moving, can't move. But is there technology now that you can encase that into?
Well, there's more efficient other structures.
Okay. We actually made a demo on that.
Yeah, let's just say there's technology, there's more efficient other structures than the technology that's currently in place at Plant 1.
Okay.
It seems to work at Plant 2, but you got the guarding and over.
Very awesome. Yeah. Right. They may slip and put up homes up and off with the move.
Yeah.
But long term, 20 years. If the decision was made to move everything over to plant two, and we still have to leave with the influence foundation, somewhere down the road, if funds were available, we could possibly direct most of the order.
Probably. You need to put that as a building.
We can change the time scrubber. We can go to a chemical scrubber. Right now, you have what's called a biological scrubber, and it's got to be maintained properly and things like that. But we can put a chemical scrubber on.
That costs extra money.
Yeah,
well,
it costs more money.
Yeah. That would have to be a couple of weeks.
If we move everything from plant one to plant two, we would still have the issue of that food. But could the property be, if that were managed for using the property for another purpose, if we were to sell it out to, construction of something else, to where we would recover some of the cost?
In the $13 million, there's $100,000 to demo stuff at Plant 1, fill holes in, and do some stuff like that. You're free to do it however you want. You can lease it.
How many?
The portion that I say is left over that's not used on pump station. It's like 10 acres.
It would be a 10 acre site.
I don't know if it's automatically the house or not.
Well, I understand.
Say, you know what I mean?
Campsite.
But you have wetlands there, for instance. It really depends on what you want to do. But we just put $100,000. The master plan is $100,000 to kind of spruce it up.
Straight around here.
But if you wanted, super gas for buildings or something. That's the problem. That's different. But you would keep the lagoon. You keep the lagoon in the pump station and the LFC. Right. And then there are some projects, by the way, on all those projects that the $3.2 million, you don't have to do those. That's what you're trading on. You don't do any of those things. You just move them. Yeah, that's your trade. And so we talked about schedule and when we might go make decisions. So this was the tentative schedule that we wanted to do. We wanted to go over this information with the committee first and have any input about intervention or whatever. The next board meeting, not tonight, we weren't on the agenda, but the next board meeting in September, the middle board meeting in September, we were going to present this information just like this. This is what's going to come. Okay. And as part of that, you already have the debt service costs, and this kind of stuff. And this, we're going to represent it just like this, okay? To get you thinking about it. You don't have to make a decision, but to get you seriously thinking about it.
Okay. In order for planning purposes, the identification really have to look at that.
Right.
When, what's the drop dead date for this board to make a decision whether to keep it a plan one or move it?
Right. So what we were hoping is we're going to finish the master plan this month, or at least the portion of the master plan is that tail all the thoughts together and wrap this thing as fast as we can this month. So we know all the little miscellaneous things. Okay. So what we're planning to do is the biggest decision for the board is this plan one decision. We're going to present it to the board in 2 weeks and ask you to come back with a decision in 2 weeks. So that would be October 1st. October 2nd.
Okay.
Yes. On October 2nd, because on October 2nd, I'm going to present all the rest of the master plan. You already know the 8 million for D9, the other differentials here, 10 million bucks. I'm going to present the rest of the cost for plan for the master plan on the October 2nd board.
The second board meeting in October is what it means.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, I wanted to summarize the master plan. So in the middle board meeting in September, I'm going to go over just this. The first board meeting in October, I want to go over the remainder of the costs. I mean, there, like, just so like here it is. Here's all your projects, here's the cost. And basically, you guys need to mull over which bunch of projects to be. Okay, like here's your cost for the P9, here's your cost for the P9, here's your cost for some this, here's the recommendations. Okay, and go over that. And then basically, by the second meeting in October, we have a final decision on yes, this is what we want to do. By the middle of October, there's a final decision from the board of, okay, we get it, we want you to go build this. Because I've got to have time to go design it, right? And so what I would do then is come back on the November meeting, we're all waiting in November before I can even bring a contract in for approval for us to design it, right? So that's why everything lines up. So if we don't hold our schedule, we're just pushing farther, farther, farther.
I think that's a reasonable schedule. I think the board will make the decision.
Right. So we're going to give you a little bit more time to go over plan one issue. That's going to start in 2 weeks. They'll have time to mull that over. Hopefully in 2 weeks they can make a decision. But really, your drop dead is the second meeting in October. You have to decide this is what we're going to start.
Okay. With that. Thank you.
5 minute recess?
Okay, 5 minute recess. We got to back to order, and we're going to go on to item number 2, wastewater master plan update.
That's what you did.
We just did, okay, great. We're going to number 3, regarding reject water.
Okay, so this is Dilltide.
I thought we pretty much killed it.
But I just wanted to just, okay, we don't have an issue with reject water. We're talking about reject water filters.
Yes.
Problems is operations and that. So there's no issue with reject. Okay.
We're okay. And the only thing that what brought it up really is when we had that pipe problem. It was that part of the problem. It sounds like I already showed up and saying no.
Yeah.
So I'm there.
We got it. Let's move on. Okay, with that, we're going to go on to shed or the vehicle.
Okay. That was another item that I'm going to
bring up. Okay. So that we have